Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. That today is Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar out here in East Nashville. Come on out, 2-for-1 drafts, all draft night long. And the draft resumes. Round 2, Titans on the clock at 35 in 57 minutes. And I believe the rounds are 5 minutes per round, so you're really looking at, let's see, 57, 67, what is that, 72 minutes? In 72 minutes, the Titans will be on the clock. Chad Withrow joins us from Outkick, presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee here on the show. Chad, let's start with our thoughts on round one. The Titans did what everybody expected. They took Cam Ward last night. And then Adam Schefter on TV told us that the Titans turned down a 1 this year, a 1 next year, and a 2 this year. They'd be picking at 34 and 35 today if they had made the move. Do you like the decision? Do you not like the decision?
Well, I like the decision only because that decision to not take that trade tells me that Mike Borgonzi thinks that they're drafting Patrick Mahomes. Now, I don't think Cam Ward is Patrick Mahomes, but if he's anywhere close to that and he's a great quarterback in the NFL, then you don't trade back. And there's a reason the Giants wanted to trade up. Now, look, the Giants are not the arbiter of all things smart in the NFL, so I'm not going to put a lot of credence in the fact that the Giants really wanted Cam Ward and we're willing to give up that much, and credit the Titans for doing it. I'll just say this. It's clear to me, after all of this, and I was skeptical for a while, that regardless of what we think about Cam Ward and his potential as an NFL starting quarterback, that the Titans and Mike Borgonzi believe this guy is the dude, that he is a guy who's going to be here for a long time and be a franchise quarterback. I do believe legitimately that they think that. Now, we can sit and debate and discuss, and I'm sure we will for a while, on just what his ceiling is and what type of player he is. But after last night and seeing that Schefter report, I do now believe that the Titans believe he's the guy. And it's not just, oh, we're picking number one, we need a quarterback, so let's take whatever the first quarterback is. I think that they legitimately think this guy is a superstar, and boy, oh boy, could this market use one.
So to that point, I do have a thought on this. You know, we saw some bold moves last night. Borgonzi going with Cam Ward in spite of the offer from the Giants. We saw Jacksonville making the big move. I think sometimes these inexperienced general managers come from places like Kansas City or the Rams and just say, well, I saw it done in Kansas City and I can do it in Tennessee. And in Jacksonville, you know, in L.A., we trade the picks all the time. So in Jacksonville, F them picks. I can trade up to 2, and I can do it the way they've done it in L.A. And I think that for experienced general managers, they realize it's a lot harder than it looks. Because I agree, they think he's Mahomes. But are they going to be able to do what Andy Reid was able to do in order to turn Mahomes into Mahomes? And I think the answer is no, and I think it's because it's harder than it looks. And I think that this is, you know, rookie mistakes 101. This is what scares me, Chad.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. I think it's also very tricky when you start to say, this is going to be our Patrick Mahomes. This is going to be our, Aaron Donald. Okay, so that's what I kept seeing with Jacksonville. Oh, this guy's from the Rams, and they're going to stick and pick, and they know the value of an Aaron Donald-type player, so they're going to go draft Mason Graham from Michigan or whatever. They didn't end up doing that. They traded up to get Travis Hunter. But when you start going down that road, it's not simple to get that guy. You know, we're talking about Hall of Famers. We're talking about great players in the league. It's not just as simple to say, well, this is going to be our version of this. Who's the Titans' Travis, you know, Kelce going to be, right, at tight end? Like, that's hard to go find. And it takes great coaching, great development, certainly great talent evaluation from the GM to go and do that. So I think if you're just entering any situation saying, this is how we're going to replicate what KC did, and we're going to take this lesser player and turn them into the version of what KC has, let's say, I think that's a mistake from the outset. Now, I do believe that they're saying, we believe this guy can be our Patrick Mahomes, and that remains to be seen. But, yes, I'm with you, and I heard you earlier on the show talking about it. I do think it's a mistake to go into any situation believing that. Here's the other thing, too. Andy Reid is a great coach and a great offensive coach. I don't know what Brian Callahan is. right now in the NFL. So Cam Ward is already kind of up against it because he's got a coaching situation that this coach needs him to be great in year one. They need to be really good, at least, and show signs of life on the offense for him to keep his job. And if he doesn't, which is probably going to be the case with any rookie quarterback, look at Caleb Williams a year ago in Chicago, showed some good signs, but it wasn't good overall. I think it's a pretty low bar to hit, quite frankly, what Caleb Williams did as the number one overall pick a year ago. But even hitting that may not be enough for Brian Callahan to keep his job. And then you're starting over again with a new system, a new head coach. And that is what makes it difficult on Cam Ward. So best case scenario for the Titans is he goes out there, he's good, Brian Callahan keeps the job, and then they can continue to build momentum and roll through that. But that's a difficult ask.
Chad Withrow with us on the program. What do you make of the Warren Moon unretiring his number and giving it to Cam Ward? There's a part of me that says, hey, if Warren's cool with it, then I should be cool with it, but I'm not. I don't like the fanfare. It feels manufactured. It feels like when Amy Adams Strunk walked into the building with Rand Carthon and everybody was standing up and clapping. He's done nothing in the NFL. And if we're just going to unretire somebody's number for the flavor of the month, then what's the point of retiring a number anyways? Let's give number 12 to somebody in New England. Let's give number 9. Let's draft a running back today and give him number 34 for Earl Campbell. I don't like it. I don't like the message that it sends as if Cam has arrived when he hasn't even taken a snap in rookie minicamp. I don't like it, Chad. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it was a cool moment. Like, I do like it was certainly manufactured, but I actually enjoyed the moment where Warren Moon walked in, surprised him, and gave him the jersey and all that. Now, it's also, you know, 5 years from now, if Cam Ward is not any good, if Cam Ward is, Johnny Manziel or Deshaun Kaiser with the Browns, we're going to look back 5, 10 years from now and say, boy, what a foolish moment that was.
Well, think about this. What if you had unretired a number for Vince Young or Marcus Mariota?
Right. And then let's say it goes really bad. And we're going to – that's going to be a meme. You know, we're going to go back and show that moment and laugh at it. That why would Warren Moon, of all people, give his jersey up for this guy? No, I don't think Cam Ward's going to be a bust, and I think it's going to be fine in the end. Here's a broader thing that I'd like to say about this whole thing with the Titans Oilers franchise. I don't care about the Oilers history, and I am willing to bet that 95% of the people listening right now do not care either. I do not care about what happened with the Houston Oilers. This city does not care about what happened with the Houston Oilers. You know who cares about what happened with the Houston Oilers? The Adams family and A. Adams Strunk. No one else. You know who else they really care about the Titans Oilers connection? Warren Moon. Because he just gave his jersey back to a Tennessee Titan. Because the Titans and the Oilers are not the same. I understand the lineage. I understand that they both are the same franchise. Nobody cares. So stop trying to force people to care about Oilers history. The only people it matters to is the owner. I really don't think it matters to anybody else.
And it matters to me, and I can't even tell you why.
It matters to you?
It does. When Houston gets on their high, when those Houston Texan fans.
Here's what should matter to the Titans. All right, and this will be a separate rant. Titans fans should matter to the Titans. The people that when the team moved here and played at Vandy had tickets. The people that moved here and in 1999, when Adelphia Coliseum opened, they had season tickets. My issue with the Titans is I don't think they care about those fans anymore because Nashville has exploded in the 25 years since they opened that stadium. And they just don't care anymore. It's a different place, and they don't want to acknowledge that part of it. I don't care about acknowledging the Oilers' history or Love You Blue or any of that. But I do care about acknowledging and honoring those in the mid-state that have been Titans fans from day one. And I don't ever want to see the Titans lose a grip on that.
Well, my thing is I think the Titans aren't gaining any of the new people that are coming here. I mean, I'm sorry. I think if somebody comes here as a New Orleans Saints fan, they're not changing their mind. The Titans stink. They're not going to sit there and say, yeah, let me get behind this crazy-ass franchise that fires general managers in the middle of the season and when they're in first place and then replaces them with guys that argue the ball doesn't bounce their way when they get beat by 50 and then fire him and bring in his lieutenant to be his boss. I don't think they're attracting any new fans. I mean, you criticize the team because you saw a video yesterday of the draft party, Chad, and I don't know the reference of the previous draft parties, but I mean, I guess you would. It doesn't seem like to you there was a lot of buzz there.
No, there wasn't. And look, I know there was a celebration on the field at the stadium during the draft and all that. And then the field looked halfway packed. I've been at a Titans draft party that had 20,000 fans there, where the field was full and a lot of the lower bowl was full with Titans fans. 2015, when they drafted Marcus Mariota, number two overall. Great comp. I think a year ago they had more people. And they had the J.C. Latham draft, and there were more people there. Look, and I get that was part of the Titans radio thing and all that. That's a whole separate thing that we could spend an hour on at some point. But it was lame. No one in there really cared. Of course they knew Cam Ward was going to be the pick. Didn't change anything. Every number one pick, we pretty much know who it is on the day of. But that was the perfect encapsulation to me of where this fan base is right now. There are going to be diehard fans that will defend the team no matter what and say that I'm an idiot. Oh, you got an axe to grind. Whatever. I am telling you as someone who has been a Titans fan since day one, okay? My older brothers are from Northern California. They were 49ers fans. I was a 49ers fan until the Titans moved here. I was one that was converted because I'm a Middle Tennessean, and I love the Tennessee Titans. And I have seen the deterioration of a relationship between organization and diehard fans. My cousin was a day one season ticket holder in the club level. Not cheap seats. I know your dad had tickets too, Jared.
Sure.
Not cheap seats. All of those people are getting priced out of the new stadium. And to think that you're going to lure in an adult that moves here from somewhere else to suddenly convert them to be a Titans fan of this organization is incredibly naive. It's not going to happen. They are losing diehard fans. And only the ones that bound together on social media are going to be with it in the end. And guess what? They can't afford tickets either to the new stadium. So I think that part of it is sad all the way around.
What do you think of round two tonight, Titans, with the third pick today? What do you think the Titans should be looking for? PK reporting they're looking to trade back. What do you make of it?
Draft Luther Burden. If you can't trade back, I understand the value of getting that third round pick that they don't have, so I would be okay with that. But if you're there and picking, draft Luther Burden if he's there. That's my pick. I think the guy can play. I don't understand what off-field issues would concern them, considering all the off-field issues they've had in the past and still drafted guys. I would draft Luther Burden at 35. But I also can understand getting that third-round pick back if you can make that move.
I'm actually more focused on getting a second-rounder next year instead of a third this year if you can move back far enough and pick up a second next year, but that's, I guess, just semantics. Okay, the hot seat draft style with Chad is next here on Stillman & Company. Again, we are live out of Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House Pizza and Watch Bar. Come on out. Again, 2-for-1 drafts all draft night long. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
There isn't any question, however, this has become now the story of the night. Shedeur Sanders, according to our draft day predictor, there was a 96% chance that he would be selected in the first 21 picks entering this draft, 21 being the operative number with the Steelers. So we are now in that zone where we wait to see if any team chooses to trade up from the second round to make the aggressive
move.
Yeah,
we always act like we're in the sixth round of the draft right now, which your Raiders haven't been picked. No. And we're still where Lamar Jackson wasn't taken. And the last time I checked, the Baltimore Ravens took Hayden Hurst, a 25-year-old tight end at the time, out of South Carolina tight end. And then they traded back into 32 to take Lamar Jackson. We're ready to pack it up at the end of day one and get ready for day two, right? There's Lamar Jackson. That list of the pocket pass, Johnny Unitas, cut by the Steelers, passed over, right? Nobody won it. Dan Marino passed over for Cal Davis and Ken O'Brien, right? Joe Montana went the third round. Kurt Warner, undrafted free agent. Peyton Manning, people have to look like Ryan Leaf over and put Phil Polian to take him number one overall. Matt Ryan. Jake Long went ahead of Matt Ryan. They took him so far, so for Ken Henney over Matt Ryan. Hockey guy. How'd that work out, right? Drew Brees, second round. Chargers, then Miami didn't take him. Goes to New Orleans, right? How'd that work out? Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. Kirk Cousins, fourth round pick. They're all positional drop back pocket passers. I didn't mention the greatest of all time, Tom Brady, sixth round pick. But just think about that list. The NFL didn't like him back when Johnny Unitas came out of Louisville. They didn't like him now.
Mel Kiper Jr. was just pissing his pants last night. Upset about Shedeur Sanders' fall. Chad Withrow is with us here for the hot seat. Chad, we're starting there. Number one, what did you make of Shedeur Sanders' fall?
I'm surprised. I really was. I said it all week. If Jaxson Dart goes ahead of Shador Sanders, I would be shocked, even with all the smoke around him falling in the draft. I don't think Shador Sanders is some great prospect. I think he's a good prospect. I think he was a good college quarterback, and in a weak year for quarterback play in the draft, I really thought he'd be the second one taken. Didn't know exactly where he would go, but I was surprised to see him. And I got to give old Mel some credit here. Go ahead and die on that hill. You know, lean all the way in. I respect it for Mel Kiper. He has not wavered one bit. He loves the guy. They opened draft coverage last night by going to a highlight reel of Shador Sanders right before Cam Ward is about to be the Titans' pick. So just lean all the way in at this point. So I'm all for Mel on this one. I don't think he's great, but I am surprised that he's still there for night number two.
Okay, number two. Do you think Titans fans should feel disrespected that they spent the entire time that Cam Ward was being picked talking about Shador Sanders?
Well, I think Cam Ward should feel disrespected. I don't think Titans fans should feel disrespected. Jared, I've heard you call him, a TV quarterback, TV prospect?
A TV prospect.
TV prospect, yeah. I mean, that's a good description. Look, if you're in the entertainment business, your job is to get people to watch. Whether they love it, hate it, whatever, it's divisive, doesn't matter. You're getting people to watch. People talk and watch Shador Sanders. So ESPN is doing their job when they do that. If I'm Cam Ward and my moment is spoiled at all when everyone knows you're going to be the pick of the Titans, that's who should feel disrespected. Titans fans don't have any right to feel disrespected about any of that. It's Cam Ward, to me, that should feel disrespected in all of that. But because he's a big TV prospect, ESPN's going to lean into it, just like Mel Kiper's going to lean into his love of Shador Sanders and not back down from it. So I understand what they're doing. And Nick Saban's whole thing about we shouldn't be talking about where these guys should go, and I told our producers, dude, you're on TV now. This is the life you live in. It's about ratings. It's about getting eyeballs. It's about drawing attention. It's about dividing at times. It's about having a strong opinion. Like, you're not the coach of ESPN anymore or television. I love Nick Saban. He's got a lot of good things to say. I understand what he's saying, but it's your job to talk about what people are going to be talking about. And what people are talking about is Shador Sanders and whether or not he was going to drop last night and where he's going to go tonight. That's ESPN doing their job.
What do you make of Mike Vrabel taking another short-armed left tackle after taking Peter Skoronski 2 years ago?
Man, I heard Will Campbell talk, and I'm thinking, this is a Mike Vrabel guy. So it made perfect sense to me as to why, you know, he would take him. Look, I don't think all short-armed offensive linemen are created equally. You know, Will Campbell played in the SEC at LSU and gave up, four sacks in 3 years as a starter?
But Skoronski was an All-American left tackle in the Big Ten. And they would never even let him sniff left tackle, not even a practice rep at left tackle.
Well, granted, but also, you know, Skoronski and Will Campbell don't have to be the same player just because they both have short arms.
But if I can't play Skoronski at left tackle because of his short arms, then why can the same guy play the other guy with short arms at left tackle? If the reason he couldn't play it was because of his short arms, then I'm pissed that you're now going to play a guy there because of his short arms.
Well, the reason they didn't play him isn't because of short arms. He stuck at that spot. That's why they didn't play him. The thought is, if you're taking Will Campbell at four, that he doesn't suck. I mean, other than the fact both have shorter arms for a tackle and they played at a school that's purple, I think that's where the similarities end between those two guys. They're totally different prospects. And Will Campbell seems like a Mike Vrabel type guy. It makes perfect sense. They were going to do something to help Drake May one way or the other, right? And they did that by drafting a left tackle that, by the way, they haven't really had there since, 2021, 2020 for the Patriots. So I like the pick, and I like the prospect, and I like everything he had to say.
How long are you willing to give Cam Ward before you think we should know if he is the guy or not the guy?
A season. I mean, it's kind of like Will Levis going into this year, right? Like, everything was so crazy in the injury in the first year. I knew. But I also said it would be fair to let it play out. And what you wanted to know at the end of this year was one way or the other. He's either going to be the guy or he's not the guy. And he is decidedly not the guy. I think you just need to see enough that there's something to work with Cam Ward this year. And I believe he's going to show that. I really do. Like, the more I watch, the more I hear him talk, the more I see about him, I think he's going to be a good player. Will he be a great player? because when you draft quarterback number one overall, the thought is that they're going to be a great player. I'm not so sure, but I think he's going to show some signs this year where Titans fans will be excited.
Who made the dumbest pick last night, in your opinion?
Dumbest pick last night. I think taking Colson Loveland over Tyler Warren is an odd move by the Bears. Tyler Warren's one of my favorite players in the draft. And I understand that Loveland's more of a jumbo receiver type, and it doesn't matter if he can't block or do any of that. I get the thinking there, but I love Tyler Warren as a prospect. I think he can do everything. And he was a jack of all trades at Penn State. So I'm going to go with the Chicago Bears, a notoriously dumb franchise that's made a lot of bad decisions, as having the worst pick of the night.
I had a college coach text me last night and said, right after that pick, and said, there are some really bad GMs in the NFL. How do you take Loveland over Warren? I will say this, though. Nothing beats the Bengals taking Shamar Stewart. And not only that, you know they're taking him because they're not going to pay Trey Hendrickson. They're going to replace the guy who sacks the quarterback 17 and a half times a season over the last 2 years. Each of the last 2 years, 17 and a half sacks. With somebody who had four and a half sacks in 3 years at Texas A&M. To me, that is going to be a disaster.
Yeah, that's a bad one. I mean, that's right there. Now, I wasn't even thinking about him, but that's another really bad one. My co-host, Jonathan Hutton, called it the day before, talking to different people he talks to around the league. He said Colson Loveland will be the first tight end off the board. I thought he was crazy. I thought it was still going to be Tyler Warren, but he had some good intel. Because sure enough, it was the Bears taking Loveland at number 10.
Where do you think Shedeur Sanders goes tonight? Or do you think he falls out of round two?
I'm going to lean. So Vegas has been more right than any draft prognosticator, which is, that's pretty obvious as good as they are what they do with the odds and everything else. I believe the last I checked on my FanDuel account that the Raiders in the second round were the top spot. So I'm going to go with them. I think it's going to be the Raiders and Pete Carroll that's going to draft Shedeur Sanders pretty early in the second round.
See, that would make sense because there would be no quarterback controversy if they take him in the second. Geno's the starter. And secondly, Deion's not going to pick a fight with Pete Carroll or Tom Brady. Whereas it would be no skin off Deion's ass to pick a fight with Brian Callahan. And I do think that coaches don't want to deal with that. Like, but here's my theory on Deion, or my theory, well, both of them, Deion and Shedeur. I think what happened was TV spent so much time ridiculing anybody who said anything negative or any critique of Shedeur as slanderous and as if there was some sort of other motive behind the critique of Shedeur that they didn't actually listen to the issues that Shedeur has. He's short, he's obnoxious, his dad is obnoxious, and has no problem calling somebody out if he doesn't think that he's being wronged. And he threw a wobbly football on his pro day with no pass rush. He's got a weak arm. He's not that good to be that obnoxious and his dad to be that obnoxious. And I think these coaches are like, hey, it's just not that good for us to deal with Deion's crap and deal with his crap, so no thank you. That's my theory.
Yeah, if your talent outweighs your problems, then you're going to find a home.
And sure, Caleb Williams was obnoxious, but he's got a lot of talent.
But I agreed. And I think that's what's missing all this. Now, I think both sides of this annoy me. The anonymous NFL executive that talked to Jordan Schultz and said it was the worst interview in the history of interviews. He's entitled. He made us feel small. He's this. He's not even that good. All that. I hate that stuff anonymously before the draft. And I'll also say, the response from everyone, oh, it must have been racism or it must be this or he never got in trouble off the field. There's so much more complexity to drafting a quarterback than just that. Just because someone doesn't get in trouble off the field, that's fine and dandy. That's great. And that's a good mark for Shedeur Sanders. But there's other things to think about. He's never not been coached by his dad. So if I'm going to give analysis for that anonymous NFL exec that said all those awful things about him, the analysis is he came across as a little bit entitled. And if you're going to try to coach someone, it's tough when you're coming into the league thinking you have all the answers. Or how is this player going to respond to not being the starting quarterback? Are they going to be a good teammate? Are they going to contribute in other ways if they're the backup? These are actual analytical questions if you're analyzing a prospect. I don't like going all willy-nilly, this guy sucks, he's the worst interview ever, and instead actually looking at some possible problems with him, which all of these things I'm mentioning are possible problems. Entitled, only played for one man, his dad, his entire life, thinks he has all the answers when he doesn't. These are issues. And just because he never got in trouble off the field doesn't erase those issues that teams could have with him. So that's what I think got lost in all of this, were the extremes on either side with Shedeur Sanders. And when you really analyze it, yeah, there are legitimate concerns about how he's going to be as a professional and as a player on an NFL team.
Chad Withrow from Outkick, presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. Chad, great stuff. We will talk next week.
Always
enjoy the draft.
Yeah, always fun. Enjoy the draft tonight, everyone, and we'll talk to you again next Friday.
Absolutely. 615-737-1025. The Titans have the 35th pick. They're looking for more ammunition. According to Paul Kaharsky, they're looking to trade back. There's one really big fear that I have about Cam Ward that has nothing to do with Cam Ward. I'll explain. We'll get to it next. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
I think our mindset is the same. You know, like I said, and we're going to approach day two just seeing who the best available player is on the board for us. Like I said, we have a lot of holes right now that we want to fill. I think we want to stay true to the board and draft the best player that we can.
Do you feel any more inclined to stick there as opposed to move, or is that TBD?
It's yeah. We'll have to see, you know, what players are on the board at that point.
Johnsy, Titans on the clock in 37 minutes. Round two begins in 22 minutes. They'll be on the clock again, 5 minutes for each round, so they'll be on the clock in 37 minutes. So, look, I would have taken the trade package with the Giants. I threw a little mini meltdown yesterday when Adam Schefter got up there and said that the Giants offered a one this year and a one next year and a two this year, and I'm like, what? But here's my thing. Number one, I don't believe that Cam Ward is going to be the next Mahomes. I hope I'm wrong. My biggest fear now that Cam Ward is a Titan, my biggest fear is that where they sit, they do not have the assets to build a good team around Cam Ward. The Titans have one Pro Bowl player right now, and he's on defense. They have no tight end. They have how many established winning players on their team? And like Dan Moore, for instance, the left tackle. I guess he technically counts because he plays left tackle on a team that has made the playoffs 3 out of 4 years. So him, Zeitler, Tyler Lockett, Ridley, Jeffrey Simmons, Tony Pollard, and who else? They need more. And they have one pick today to do it at 35. So let's say they draft Luther Burden, because a lot of you out there are like, oh, we got to take Luther Burden. Chad Withrow just on the show. Take Luther Burden. Got to take Luther Burden. All right, fine. Let's say you take Luther Burden. You have no tight end, and your defense still sucks. So now you're going to ask Cam Ward to go out there and score 28 points a game because you last year allowed 27 points a game, and again, I don't think your defense is going to get much better. Good luck. Again, you're going to ask him to score 28 points. You know when Joe Burrow and the Bengals went to the Super Bowl in 2021, and this is Joe Burrow, and to anybody outside of this city, Cam Ward is not Joe Burrow. They scored 27 points a game the year they went to the Super Bowl. You're asking Cam Ward to do that to win right now. And that team had T. Higgins, and that team had Jamar Chase. This team does not. Josh Allen is a rookie in Buffalo. They averaged 17 points a game. Tom Brady, his first year with the Patriots, they averaged 23 points a game. Lamar Jackson with the Ravens in 2018, 24 points a game. So if all you have is the 35th pick, how do you build a team around this young quarterback so he doesn't have to go out there and score 28 points a game? Well, Jared, they need to trade down, and okay, but now you're going to get a worse player. Like if you trade down, and let's say you trade down to 50, you're probably not in the same caliber of player that you were before. Goodbye, Nick Amanawori, and I think Nick Amanawori might be a star safety in the NFL. Goodbye to Donovan Ezeraku, college football's leading sacker last year. goodbye Luther Burden, even though Luther Burden maybe has, you know, some off the field issues, who knows. The other option is this, and I just know she's not going to do it. Amy might have to spend some more money. Swing a trade for Jalen Ramsey. Swing a trade for Mark Andrews. Hell, maybe even go all in on Trey Hendrickson, though the draft capital would be conflicting. That might be something where you move back in the second round and pick up a second next year and then trade that second that you pick up for Trey Hendrickson or something and then give him the big deal. But you know Amy's not going to do that. So, again, while everybody's like, Cam Ward, he's the man, he's Mahomes, give him Warren Moon's number. It's hilarious because, again, like, we don't know if Cam Ward's going to be any good. You're unretiring a number for somebody who hasn't pissed a drop in the NFL? You don't know if he's going to be any good. How would you feel if you had unretired somebody's number for Vince Young? How would you have felt if you unretired a number for Marcus? But now that the die is cast and Cam Ward's the guy and the Titans are hyping him up like he's already Mahomes, now that the die is cast, I'm scared to death that they do not have enough artillery to put a good team around it. And I know the YouTube chat goes crazy every time I talk about Sam Darnold. Like every time I bring up Sam Darnold and I say, hey, you know, this is what I would have done is I would have gone. If I had signed Sam Darnold, then I would have traded. I would have had a first-round pick this year, 2 second-round picks, a first-round pick next year, maybe a third, that 99th pick. I would have had all those picks, and I've already got the quarterback, and I know the quarterback can play in the NFL. But they've already – that's spilt milk now. He's in Seattle. And you've got Cam Ward, so now what are your options to build it around Cam Ward? And that's what bothers me. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh says, I do not care if Cam Ward wins the next 10 Super Bowls. You do not unretire a jersey. Also tell him I'm a 35-year-old Nashville native and I care about the Oilers' history because it's part of Titans' history. I love this team, all of it. Josh from White House. I think the Titans need to make a decision right now. Either you care about Oiler history and you care about the Oilers and you'll wear Oiler stuff and you'll wear the Oiler throwbacks once every now and then, or you don't. This move feels like you do not care, that you could draft a running back today and give Cam Scataboo number 34. Because who gives a rat's ass about Earl Campbell? I do. I can't tell you why I care about it. I do care. I get mad whenever the people of Houston start to say, oh, no, that's our team. Those are our numbers. I do not like it. Mark says Warren Moon gave permission to wear number one. Again, I don't like the idea of retiring numbers. If the best recruit in the history of college football was considering Louisville, but he had to wear number eight, I would say, look, you cannot wear number eight. You cannot wear Lamar Jackson's number. Who's the best recruit in the history of college football? Who's the best recruit in the history? I think it might be Terrell Pryor at Ohio State. Might be the best recruit in the history of college football. Whomever it may be. If that guy wants to be the Louisville quarterback, but he has to wear number eight, I'm not unretiring it. Even if Lamar is like, I want him to, nope, sorry, not doing it. So, one texter says, stop talking, Sam Darnold. Maybe he didn't want to be here. You're blaming the Titans and you know nothing. I know a little bit more about that, but again, what do they always say? Make him an offer he can't refuse. You do that and you have all the picks and you've already got quarterback figured out. But again, they just drafted Mahomes, so I'm not even going to be upset about it. They've told everybody they've got Mahomes. I just hope they don't ruin him by the time it'll take them. They better hit this one out of the park today. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number. Trevor's choices for the Titans. If they pick at 35, we'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Trevor Mattis, your thoughts on the Titans heading into round two tomorrow night?
I think they're in great shape. Great shape.
Yep.
Because Cleveland could take one of those three guys that we're talking about. The Texans could take another one. I think they might take Luther Burden.
Oh, don't
you know,
say
to
it.
Continue to maximize their quarterback, C.J. Stroud. But there are three guys that I think would be impact players for the Titans based on what they need and what these guys could do. Luther Burden would be my number one choice. If he's not there, then you've got two defensive impact players, both of them with production and traits that you can't coach. One's a tall safety that runs a 4.3 something 40. You know, the guy's super fast. And the other one is an edge rusher who was one of the most effective and productive edge rushers in all of college football last year. They'll have their choice of one of those three guys, maybe two of those three guys. Any of those three would be a significant upgrade at a critical position for this team.
There you go. That was Trevor last night at the end of round one. Round two starts in 8 minutes. Joe Rexroad, Chase McCaber here. The Titans are on the clock at 35. Paul Kaharsky has reported they are trying to trade back from 35. And as I've said, if you trade back, yes, I would like a third, but my bigger priority would be a second next year. That would be my biggest priority because that could become the 32nd pick. You know, it'd be the 33rd pick or the 38th pick or something like that in next year's draft. And again, we know this is a long-term process. So those are the three names Trevor throws out. Luther Burden, number one. If he doesn't go to the Texans at 35, and that does make some sense that he would go to the Texans. If he doesn't go to the Texans at 35, Trevor says, go get Luther Burden. If that's not there, Nick Emmanuelle, the safety out of South Carolina. Now, I did not know this guy. I was unfamiliar with his game. But then I've watched some today of Nick Emmanuelle, and he is a big boy. And he's got ball skills. You know, this isn't exactly Jamal Adams, who never intercepted the ball at LSU. Emmanuelle had two pick sixes last year for South Carolina. And then his third is Donovan Ezeraku, who is the pass rusher that led college football in sacks last year. He'd be happy with any of those three guys. So, you have to exceed the value if you trade down. Technically, according to the draft trade chart websites.com, the current value of the Titans' 35th pick has a value of 550. For instance, let's say they traded with Seattle at 50. Seattle's pick has a value of 400. So you're talking about a difference of 150 if you were to make that. 150 is equal to the later end of the third round. So you could make the trade with Seattle and get 92 as well, and it's about even. I'll take next year's second rounder instead of 92. That's if you move back to 50. So that would be my priority here. But the way I look at it is this. I would take any of the three guys. I know Emmanuelle is a safety, but I think he's one of those impact safeties. My thing is this. If it were me, I want a second rounder in next year's draft to move back past 50. Other than that, I don't care about day three picks, and I don't care if I have to include day three picks. I don't care about that. I care about the actual day one and day two, and you're not getting any day one picks at this point. Day one and day two picks. Who reported that Simmons is not getting traded? Did somebody report? TD reported Simmons? Oh, A to Z said Simmons isn't getting traded? Well, they've only said Simmons isn't getting traded the whole time, but that's at least now you know that on that front. All right, Chase and Joe are ready. They are up next with the draft show. Titans on the clock in about 20 minutes. We shall see. Thanks to Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar out here, East Nashville. 2-for-1 drafts all draft day long. Stillman and Company. We'll see everybody tomorrow, too.